Des, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. Look, as I say, very heavy topic. Des, how was the duty of care breached in this situation?
Well, I think every government department and non-government organisations, when they have children in a residential care situation, which is true also of detention centres, that they have to provide a environment that is safe. They must safeguard the children. And it was reasonably foreseeable, that's the phrase that is generally used, that this kind of assault, which is an example of child-to-child sexual assault, it was reasonably foreseeable that that might happen, because all refugee children, even teenagers, as happened in this case, have been damaged by their experiences both in their home country when they were fleeing and in the subsequent move to Christmas Island, as happened in this case with the child and his mother, and then with the older teenager perpetrator, about whom we don't know anything, but it was still reasonably foreseeable that this might happen, and the authorities have a duty of care.
And really one of the disturbing aspects of this is, as you say, the word foreseeable there is we should have foreseen it before it happened, and yet, according to reports, even after it happened and was reported, there was no action taken until a alleged third assault.
That's correct, and this is why the action has now been taken in the attempt to sue the Australian government. It's a very complex legal situation, but we're now introducing the redress scheme following the Royal Commission into child sex abuse for those who were sexually abused in residential situations, institutional situations, whether they were orphanages or other forms of child care. And we know the Royal Commission showed absolutely clearly that children in such situations are very vulnerable, and the impact is major, with, as has been shown in this case, of suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, nightmares, and so on. So the effects are always great in the case of child sexual abuse.
Well, let's talk about the protocols that were in place. It's sort of been claimed that there were inadequate protocols in place to ensure detainees were not sexually assaulted, and that staff were inadequately trained to deal with assaults. Do we have an indication of what the level of protocols and training was?
Well, I think in general terms, the medical resources on Manus Island and on Nauru have been stretched right from the start. And certainly in recent years, in 2017-2018, according to the report of the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, which made a major statement in October, that, for example, Doctors Without Borders were ejected from Nauru on October the 5th and so on. And contract between the government and the International Health and Medical Services, which has its headquarters in Macquarie Park and has responsibility in the overall sense, that their services were stretched and their workers were not as trained as highly as they should have been to guard against, to safeguard children and also vulnerable adults.
Now, as we say, the child in question now experiences major mental health damage, as well as requiring ongoing medical treatment due to the outfall of these assaults. Do we have any indication of how that will be followed up with him?
No, we don't. Not as far as I'm aware. The child has been brought to Australia, and I suppose this is part of the government's attempt at the moment to try and move all children off Nauru. And we know that 92 children have been moved since August. But of course, the whole issue is mixed up with the political shenanigans which on both sides of Parliament, but particularly on the Liberal Conservative side, because there's an election around the corner, both parties want to show how tough they are on the issue of border security. So there's mixed messages coming, particularly from the Prime Minister, who was, of course, the former Minister for Immigration in the first few years of the this present government. And also now we have Mr. Dutton, who has responsibility. He is still saying that the Nauru children will not be allowed to stay permanently in Australia. He uses the phrase, they are a transitory person, but it's not clear where these children will be sent to. There is the attempt to send them to the US. There was an agreement made at the end of the Obama administration that 1,250 would be moved to the US, but so far only about 430 have been resettled because President Trump is not over happy with the agreement that was made between the Australian government, because part of the deal is that Australia would take a similar number of refugees from Costa Rica, but we haven't heard about that. The other issue I think we need to keep in mind on this issue, that while the claim about the boats have been stopped, yes, that is basically true, but in the time from 2014 to 2015, the number of arrivals of asylum seekers by plane, not by boat, by plane, has jumped from 8,500 to last year almost 28,000.
Well, it is a horrific situation. It's one that obviously, in a great deal of ways, as you mentioned, with the planes there and such, certain aspects of the argument have been blown well out of proportion. Des, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time.
Thank you, Sean.